What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town, episode 37. I'm your host, Chan Man V, and I'm joined today by my co-host each and every week, of course, Trump here, the mayor of Value Town. And our special guest today is Calento from Team Cloud9, and all of you guys know him, just number one on the ladder right now, or at least recently. I didn't check yesterday, so I'm not sure if you're still number one or not. Welcome to the show, Calento.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, so topics today, guys. We got a lot of great topics. We've got obviously big news from Trump here. So we're gonna get his reactions and feelings on joining TSM. That's definitely great news. Gonna get an update from Calento, see how he's liking Cloud9, and then we'll talk about NextRamus. There was some news this week with pricing and some other things. Talk a little bit about recent events, another tournament announced for next week, and then we'll talk some decks with Calento here. He's going to talk all about his Paladin deck, and actually two variations, one where he was originally climbing with and then the most recent mods. And then we'll get your questions, as we always do. There's no thread or anything to post the questions today, so go ahead and just tweet them to me, at ChamMV, and I'll read them off as we see them. So, all right, let's start off with topics. Let's talk about Trump's big news, which is you joined TSM, man. That's like huge news. Obviously, TSM being one of the biggest esport teams in NA right now, and they're entering into the Hearthstone space. You know, their first pickup was Masan, but now Trump. I mean, that's huge. Talk to me about your feelings and why you picked TSM over lots of other teams that were probably wooing you.
Well, like I alluded to last week, I guess, in the questioning, I made sure to look through all the options, and ultimately TSM is a really established team and looks like they're going to try to take their Hearthstone team to be as good, if not better, than yours, Mr. Calento. So I respect your team a lot, but we're going to try to make a great team over here at TSM as well, and it won't just stop with myself and Masan. I'll pick up some other good members, and I'm really excited to join such a well-known team and honored that they picked me up.
So go ahead, Calento.
I was a bit disappointed after seeing another person in Team Solo Masan.
Team Solo Masan. That's so funny. So how long of a process was this for you, Trump? Because I'm sure a ton of teams were talking to you for a long time. And how far back did you know you were going to join a team? It was just a matter of the right place.
I can't really know for sure when I was 100% sure I was going to join team. Like, for a while, I was like, maybe I'll just go teamless. So I was never really sure. Talks about teams began, like, as early as a few months ago. So I'm a really careful person, and I hope to stay in this team for quite a while.
Okay, awesome. Have you got a chance to talk to Masan a bunch, or even maybe practice, throw some ideas around with Masan?
Yeah, I mean, Masan is actually one of the people who's really excited to. He was like immediately messaging me like, oh man, I got someone to practice in with now, like teammates, yay. And that was great. I look forward to doing that with him.
Are you going to have a lot of influence on maybe who joins? Because I know with like Cloud9, it seems like Doghouse had, you know, with Nimsh and Ekup and all those guys, seem to have a lot of influence as to how to build that team. So are you going to have that kind of influence on the TSM team also?
Yeah, I mean, Reginald's really good at making sure that he forms a good team. And in terms of Hearthstone expertise, he is throwing it more towards, like, he knows his strengths, so he knows that I probably know a bit more than him. So, yeah, I'm going to make sure that it's good people who join up.
Okay, that's great. So it's up to two, and I know a lot of team type of events have been in the works. You know, there's been, I think, a couple of them. And most of the team events usually require anywhere from, like, 3, 4, or 5, you know, team members to actually be able to participate. So can we expect to see some more additions in the near future to maybe be able to qualify for some of these events? Or is it just going to, you know, right now in the future, it's just going to be, you know, kind of wait and see type of thing?
I don't know the exact timeline. I know that the intent is to pick up more Hearthstone members. I don't know how soon that'll come, though. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, congrats, man. That's, again, man, huge news for you, and can't wait to see how the team gets built up.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah, he's got the shirt. The Teddy's got his hat, too. Really, really nice. I like the jackets look cool, man. I was expecting you to wear the jacket today, but I guess it's kind of hot.
It's so hot.
Yeah, it's kind of hot over there, I'm sure. But speaking of teams, it's still pretty, you know, it's been, what, a couple weeks maybe now since, you know, Calento, you joining Cloud9. Kind of wanted just to get, you know, your update. I feel like we've had everybody on Cloud9 at this point on the show. So I wanted to get your thoughts on joining Cloud9, getting a chance to, you know, be part of that team and even interacting with them even just the last couple weeks.
I'm really looking forward to what will come after me joining the Cloud9. Mm-hmm. I feel like I will be participating in LAN tournaments more often because I actually have some support. I will have some money if I need to travel somewhere, and it, obviously I couldn't afford to do it on my own. Not because I... Yeah, it's complicated, but I couldn't afford to.
Okay.
And of course... We'll practice, share some ideas. Maybe after Curse of Nostradamus comes, clear mind of our team members will make some decks, which will be good, and no one will know about them because everything will be new.
Nobody will know about them until the first event, where everybody then all
until the first event.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. So how's it been working with the Doghouse guys? Just Doghouse guys and Hafu, and Strife Crow. I guess Strife Crow officially. On Doggy House, not on Doggy House, is kind of debatable. But yeah, how is it working with all your teammates? Getting a chance to talk decks and meta with them?
We are having only one meeting so far, but we are talking on Skype, in a conference, obviously, sharing ideas, talking about new upcoming tournaments, what we should do, about promotions, yeah, many things. And also, Huff likes to invite someone on her stream just to play together. Mm-hmm. She calls it coaching, but it's not. It's more about talking and sharing ideas what play may be potentially better or not.
Yeah, I actually caught a little bit of the, at least one night whenever you were on her stream. Good stuff. Learned a lot actually just watching that. But that, you know, great news for you too, man. Congrats on joining Cloud9, and it's really great to see all the top players, you know, getting picked up and teams, you know, supporting you guys. So we can see you in a lot more tournaments. I know a lot of people want to see you at LANs, so it's going to be great getting a chance to see that.
But I certainly can't travel too much because it's a bit problematic. I need to spend like 12 hours only in train to get into the airport.
Oh, wow.
I have airport in my city, but it's now closed due to some reasons.
Yeah.
And maybe it will be different after some time, but now it's super complicated.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on over there, unfortunately. Okay, well, why don't we move on to some Naxxramas news, and I always do that, Trump. Gosh, but Trump, you're kind of our Naxxramas expert, so I was going to throw it to you and have you kind of lead this segment.
All right. Well, the long awaited entry details onto Naxxramas and how it's going to work has finally appeared, and I'll give the basics. So Naxxramas opens its gates one wing at a time. It's officially announced, although we all knew that earlier. So it's going to go in the order of Arachnid, into Plague, into Military, into Construct, into Frostworm. The first one is free, and then after that, each one can be purchased for 700 gold or $699. And they have this cool deal where if you just purchase all the wings, you get to get all of them for $24.99, which is a savings of...
Value!
$3?
$3.
Wait, is that...
Is it?
7 times 4,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so $3. $3 and 1 cent.
Yes. Yeah, but that's good. And that pricing for a Hearthstone, for a card game expansion is like on the cheap side, I would say. And when I predicted the gold cost, I always predicted somewhere between 500 and 1,000 gold. Mm-hmm. And I was actually personally more thinking, it'll probably be 1,000. I mean, $9.99. But it turned out to be 700. So that's good. I think that's a accessible amount, and the dollar cost is very accessible as well.
Clint, what do you think of the price? Do you have any opinions on it?
I think price is fair, but I really don't know. I mean, I don't like artificial intellect in Huston at all. I feel like it's a bit too... I mean, it's not so hard to beat computer in Huston. Okay. And I don't know how it will be going on Dungeon, because it will play not with a person, but against artificial intellect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So will it be complicated, or will it be just like a study part of Huston when we are creating a new account, you know?
Oh, yeah, will it just become more of a beginner thing? Well, the cool thing about these wings is that they're kind of set up. It's not like you just bring your decks that you play in Constructed and you just play against these guys. They actually try to set up a scenario. So there will be some wings where you can only play the Web Spinner cards, and that's it. You have to figure out. They're like little puzzles. They're basically...
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be like that. So
it's super interesting.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah. Trumpet, there's some other things about, I think, heroic mode or something. There was some more news about that too, right?
Wow, I just realized something. This entire time, I've just been hearing that it's going to be $20, so I don't actually understand why it says all five wings $24.99 and buy remaining four $19.99.
Oh. Oh,
that doesn't make sense to me.
That's actually true, because the first one's free,
right? It never
right?
hit me. I always thought, like, everyone always told me, oh, it's $20. And I was like, oh, it's really good. And then I was like, oh, wait, but this says $24.99, but if you already own the first wing, which is free, it's $19.99.
That's true.
So, well, anyways.
That's true. I didn't even think about that either. Yeah, the first wing's free, so that all five wings is actually a bad deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta admit, I haven't thought this one through. I'm sure it makes sense in some way, but anyway. Oh, the first wing is free for only the first month. I get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Okay,
well,
that makes sense then. Okay. So thanks, for only Chad. The first month. Okay, so this is a 1 month promotion just to get folks in, play the first wing. Okay, that's cool. That makes sense. But there's a heroic mode too, right? There was an announcement about heroic mode. And then even just some questions about, I guess, gold cards in heroic mode, I believe.
Yeah, and that's really good about heroic mode. Like Alenta said, the bosses can be easy. And, you know, their AI is designed so that you can beat it. So you're going to beat it eventually. And if you can't on your own, there will be guides out there on how to beat them. Like how to create the cheesy anti-patchwork deck where you put, like, Voidwalkers and Goldshire Footmen in to absorb... like Patrick's 5 damage weapon, super OP. And then, I mean, it's cool that it's going to be more like a puzzle, I think, of how you're going to create a deck. Of course, the AI isn't going to play fair. They're going to have, like, overpowered cards, and they're going to have their own flavor. I think done right, it can be really fun.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be similar to MMORPG Dungeons, when, let's say, if you want to beat fire boss, you need to have fire resistance gear. So if you want to beat a boss who deals a lot of damage to your face, you need to have a lot of small tones.
Yeah. And I think it is going to be similar to that. I think there's one boss where it's like you have to kill him by turn 8 or turn 7. Like, you have no choice. You have to kill him by a certain amount of time because of his weapon, I believe. I can't remember which one it is, but they're going to set up all kinds of things. So what you said with that, and it's going. I'm really excited just to see all the bosses. Because it sounds like every single one is going to be completely different, which is cool. So there was some controversy about the heroic mode and gold cards, right? Whether you could get the gold bosses or whether you'd have to craft it. Can you explain that a little bit, Sean?
All right, so from my understanding, and this is a topic that I don't really know off the top of my head, but from my understanding... when you beat the heroic mode bosses, you get the basic version of cards still. And, wait, actually, no, you don't get any? No, you do get. You get the basic version.
You get
version.
The normal one, yeah.
Right. And then I mean, at all times, you can always craft golden versions of the cards. And apparently some people were made under the impression, or perhaps they hoped, that by beating the heroic mode that they would get a chance, or a 100% chance, like somewhere in there, of getting a gold card. And like there was some slight miscommunication between their outlook, Blizzard's outlook on how these gold cards should be given out. At the end of the day, it's like it's their choice on how to distribute it. It seems fine to me, yeah. Like for a card game where gold cards aren't necessary and they're more like the visual effects, that you pay dust for it, because that is what will make Hearthstone money, basically. And we all want Hearthstone to succeed, so yeah. It's a nice thing. You pay money, or you pay dust, which you don't need to have money for, to get cosmetic benefits. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Colenso, what do you think about gold cards in general? Are you the type that wants to have a completely gold deck, you know, and motivated by that sort of thing?
It's not my first priority to have a full golden deck, but I feel like it's nice sometimes to just point into the card and see golden shiny splashes and this cool graphic. But I don't see a much of a difference between golden card and regular one. It's... I mean, if I have like two copies of a regular card, I will rather add two regular cards than one regular and one golden. Because for me, it's not a big difference at all.
Just to shorten the list. Just to make the list more compact. Yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, with the gold cards, they're supposed to have that feeling of rarity, right? I mean, just to... If you have all the gold cards, it's supposed to feel like you've played the game a lot, or you're just like a, you know, really... really big fan of the game in that sort of sense. So I can understand them just not giving away the boss golden cards just easily and making you know, have to buy them and craft them.
So right, totally, and you take me as the Naxx expert, but this is like one article that I actually didn't really read in that much detail. But anyways, you do at least get a pretty cool thing for killing all the heroic bosses. You get that new card back, which you can show off in actual play. And then let everyone know that you are the master of PvE in Hearthstone. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, again, I'm hoping it's going to come out soon. I mean, we were getting like every little bit of information now, and it seems to be really close. There was actually another PSA thread that we saw on Reddit that actually had a summary of just everything that we know right now from it, which is really, really great. Not going to go through all of them right now, but you know, encourage you guys to check it out. Here, I'll link it to you guys in chat. Again, lots of great things in there, and hopefully it comes out in the next... God, I'm hoping in July. That's kind of what I was anticipating, but you never know.
So, release date is not known right now, right?
Yeah, the launch date is still not known. Release date.
It isn't known, but they have maintained that they are still aiming for July, so I am cautiously optimistic that Naxx is maximum 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
I really can't wait until I can play the new patch Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And get the new cards.
The first day is going to be... the first day is going to be so crazy, because everybody's going to be playing or trying to get all the new cards so that they can, you know, start constructing and start laddering with it. So that first day is going to be insane. Okay, let's move on to, I guess, events that are upcoming in the community. And particularly the tournaments are coming. So next week, we talked about DreamHack Valencia being next week. But also, there's another event, which is the IEM Shenzhen tournament, which was announced yesterday. And here's the page. And first place is going to be... It's a $10,000 event. 16 players. First place will be $4,000, then $2,000, $1,500. This looks like Frodan will be commentating. And there's no list of players, but I know some of the Cloud9 folks are going. Right, Colenso?
Can you repeat, please? I missed...
I think some of the Cloud9 folks are going to the IEM Shenzhen event.
Yes, I know for sure that Nimsh and Strikeforce should be going into Shenzhen.
Okay.
I heard that Hafu also should go, but I'm not sure anymore, because I seen something about that Hafu that she can't go, but
okay.
Actually, I don't know for sure. But CloudNote will be represented on the tournament, obviously.
Okay, great. Trump, do you know if... Are you going? Or is Masan going?
This one's a bit too short notice for me. And, like, I might have been asked to go, but it was, like, 1 or 2 weeks away, and it was flying to a really pretty far away place. So yeah. I won't be attending this one, but after joining TSM, I imagine I'll be attempting to go into more tournaments, even if they are far away.
Okay. Is Masan going? It's not that far for him, actually.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it should be a great tournament, guys. I know a lot of the top players are going to be there. It's going to be like kind of split between DreamHack and Shenzhen, so it'll be an interesting weekend. I even think they kind of overlap, too. I'm not sure about the times, but there's got to be some time overlap, given that the days are pretty long for these events. So definitely check that out, too, guys. And for the DreamHack Valencia event, I think Reynad and I will be casting some of it, so... That's not 100% sure yet. I know Reynad is planning on casting all 3 days, and then there might be like a couple of days that I join in with him. So check that out, too. That's going to be on one of our streams. So check that out. That's going to be Friday. I think it starts... No, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think, is the DreamHack one. So lots of stuff going on. Wish they wouldn't overlap, but lots of stuff going on next week. All right, so let's get on to talking about decks and Kalento. Paladin, you're making Paladin hip again, which is I thought was kind of impossible outside of just an aggro Paladin that we saw with the Shokuden deck. But you're making a mid-range Paladin kind of back in the metagame, and not only back, just like at the top of the ladder. So wanted to get you on to talk, you know, kind of walk us through the deck and some of the choices you made and why it's so good. But generally speaking, what do you think about Paladin? Did you just kind of take this on as a challenge, trying to make a deck that you could ladder all the way to the top with?
Actually, when I was playing Paladin, I really felt like I can't place highly with Paladin. And maybe it is true. Maybe Paladin can be placed highly. Maybe just was lucky to get rank 1 with this deck. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Obviously, control Paladin takes some skill to play. That's why I prefer this deck over aggro Paladin.
Okay.
But, yeah, maybe on an A server, I haven't had such a good success with Paladin, so... Who knows? Maybe it was just a luck.
It wasn't just luck. Let's be real now. It's not just luck.
Whoops, I accidentally hit rank 1.
Exactly. I wish I could get that lucky and just accidentally hit rank 1.
I mean, by luck, I mean that I can't just like play anything and be top 1 just without making mistakes and doing plays, which is stupid but correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
By luck, I mean that I will have good cards, which is good in particular situation when I need the answer and I have it.
Yeah, but that many times, it's still pretty hard to imagine. So how high are you on the NA ladder
right now?
That many times,
it was only once with this deck.
Really?
How many times? What's your question? Sorry.
Oh no, I was just saying, like, you know, you have to play a ton of games to get to rank 1, right? So, you can't have that many games where you get like a perfect draw. It just would be crazy if it happened that way, or at least a starting deck. But I was going to ask you about NA. So you said you had a little bit harder time on NA. You made it to Legend though with NA on NA though? Is that correct?
But I wasn't playing Paladin all time on the NA server, with Paladin. Actually, even on EU server, when I was climbing with Paladin, it was like 50% win rate. I was struggling on rank 1. I was like rank 1, then rank 3, then rank 1, then rank 2, and it's back and forward all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had Hate the Legend, suddenly I had a pretty good win rate.
And that's how it is, right? That's how it is on ladder sometimes. It kind of changes, right? Like the type of decks you see like outside a Legend versus when you get inside a Legend?
Sorry?
I mean, the type of decks that you face when you're outside a Legend versus inside a Legend, my experience is I feel like the meta is like a little bit different when you're climbing the ladder, and then when you get into Legend, it just changes.
Definitely is, but it's only a matter of rank. I mean, if you rank 1 or 2, a difference almost not exists. But when you rank 5 or lower, obviously you're facing decks which are cheaper and probably not so good, mm-hmm. and you might have some difficulty with decks you're playing on high ranks, on lower ranks.
Okay. Trump, have you been playing? I think I saw you playing some Paladin, right, on your stream.
Recently. Mm-hmm. I was so inspired by Kalentus Clem to rank one legend with the Paladin deck that I spent a day basically streaming his video on demand and seeing like whether or not I would make the same plays as Kalenta would. And quite surprisingly, on quite a few occasions, I would not have made the same play as he. Some of which I tried to take note as, like, is it style? And then some of which I was like, oh man, Kalenta saw a much better play than I did. And that's like, it's the hidden skill of Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. Just to, like, sometimes you think a move is obvious and you're just playing it out. And it's like, okay, I've got this much mana, I'm just going to play this card. But there is a lot of subtlety to it. And it's like, as you get better, like something I dubbed the hidden play, you start to see plays that wouldn't make sense to you if you didn't actually think about it. But if you think about it, it's actually the right play. And that's what separates like a really top-tier player like Kalenta from the typical legend, I suppose. Yeah. And, of course, getting a legend in itself is really good, but... Yeah, you know, Kalenta is on a bit of a different level.
Yeah, so definitely.
On the topic of this deck, I played a lot of it yesterday. Well, I played 20 games with it yesterday, and I got a 60% win rate, which is pretty good. But I mean, it's nothing exceptional. I had a losing streak in the middle, which really sucked, but that happens all the time with any deck, really. The general assessment I gave of this deck is it seems solid. It seems like it's the type of... It has a lot of similarities to Druid control-y type things, other than you don't have the burst, but on the other hand, you have, like, its own unique...
A heal.
...unfairness, which is the equality consecrate, the equality pyro, the... you get your own flavor of unfair with the Paladin, which is sometimes better, sometimes worse. You have a lot more stability with the Paladin because there's more healing and there's more taunting. So you can come back from situations where you might not be able to as a druid. It has its pros and cons. A lot of people write off Paladin as a joke class or like a weak class. And even Kalenta is admitting like, oh, maybe it isn't that strong. Maybe I got lucky. But I actually think that this deck, and perhaps it can even get changes. I don't know. I haven't played it too much. I think this can be a contender.
Yeah, I think... Oh, go ahead, Kalenta.
I feel like in tournaments... If, would say, I had a best of seven match or best of nine, when I can choose four or five decks, maybe it would have been my fourth one or fifth one. Because this deck isn't that bad, but not the best one, in my opinion.
So we should go into talking about the deck, but before we do that, is there a matchup that's just heavily favored for this deck, in your opinion, Kalenta? Like, would you use this as a counter deck to anything?
I feel like against Handlock, if you know that you're playing not against aggro, you can make a pretty good hand when you're mulliganing against Handlock. Even without Big Game Hunter, this deck is pretty solid against Handlock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But let's dig in. Let's dig into actually the decks. And what we have here is, we don't have the exact same decks here, even though they're both called Taunted. And we basically have the deck that he climbed with on the left here, I believe. And then the right one is kind of his most recent mods, you know, based on what he's been doing on the ladder. So let's talk about the left one first, and really want to kind of get you know, just kind of call out cards, kind of why you're using it, and kind of, you know, like, why they're so good. I'll just start from the top. So, Humility, right? That's definitely a card that I feel like you've introduced some. We've seen it a little bit before with Kodo and stuff, but again, it's being introduced by this deck. Why Humility?
So, Humility, I felt like sometimes, okay, let's say really late stage of the game, you're playing against Miracle, you're facing your low on life, opponent has a minion, and you have Laying Hands or some sort of expensive taunt like Tyrion Forging, but you're not sure that your opponent has like Sap or not, or if he has Burst or not, so you need to play a big taunt, you need to play a heal, and you need to deal with minions somehow because you don't know if it will be enough if you will just heal or play a taunt. So you basically play Humility as a tempo play when you have no other play, but you need also to heal yourself to be in safe zone or play a taunt. And it's like it's like an inner weight. When situation is critical.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
And it's like a higher level of understanding of this humility spell. And let's say pyromancer can be comboed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's really not expensive spell at all. Then Kodo, obviously. Six mana, humility Kodo. Kills everything. If only 1 minion we bought, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, humility, like a Sunwalker and Kodoing it, it's like incredible value, right? But your point about the Pyromancer, so I've played this deck, or at least Paladin deck's pretty similar to this deck for a few weeks now. And one of the biggest things, like when you're playing against aggro with Wild Pyro, is that you need some spells to proc Wild Pyro that aren't equality, and Consecrate, especially early on. And sometimes humility can help with that, and obviously Holy Light, too, is really great about that. So that's definitely really good. Knife Jugglers.
Actually like to interrupt. Go ahead. You're not thinking big enough on the Kodo thing. Like yesterday night, against Tides of Time, I managed to get the Aldor Peacekeeper and then a Stampeding Kodo on his Ragnaros, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I was using Kodo even before I did Humility because of this combination. Mm-hmm. You can just play it.
I know that Kalenta has actually been thinking about adding a second Kodo and maybe a second Humility. I think that would take it in an interesting direction. And I thought about it also.
It's a bit too inefficient, I feel like.
Inefficient? Okay.
Yeah. You have like double Humility and Kodo. Yeah, you can deal with one minion. But when it comes to aggro or some kind, or if you have hand with double Humility, double Peacekeeper, let's say. What can you do? You can just reduce every minion attack damage to one, and that's it.
I've actually been playing around with it. I've been playing a lot with Double Humility and Kodo recently, and it makes the Druid matchup like a lot easier, I feel like, because you can just turn everything into a one damage minion for them, which is kind of interesting. But you said like with aggro it's a problem, but isn't a lot of the what's there already pretty good against aggro with all the taunt, something... With all the taunt, with the pyros, with the qualities, with the consecrates, and even in the Elven Archer, right? That's even nice, too.
Aggro is a problem. Hmm. If you, it's part of the reason I play Knife Juggler. It's not acceptable to miss turn 2 play against aggro most of the times if you can, like, not perfect, if you don't have a quality pyro, if you don't have consecrate. Hmm. You need minions to play. So by playing 1-1 on turn 2, you're basically losing a turn because minions like Voidwalker, you're simply trades with it. But Knife Juggler actually kills something or forces a Soulfire.
Hmm, okay. Trump, what do you think of the Knife Juggler? That was kind of my next card I was going to ask, too.
The Knife Juggler is one of those cards where when I was playing Control Paladin, like, we're going to say 6 months ago or something, way back in the day, it was like, and this is something actually that Crip brought to a... Well, there was Crip, and then there was Kayuki. And those were the teammates of like Fight Night 1, and Paladin was kind of a big deal way back then. And then there's just a lot of enthusiasm about like just making the guys, and then like doing nothing on turn 2, 3, and 4, just make a guy, make a guy, make a guy, and then like run 2 lay on hands or something crazy like that. And that was a cool style, and to some extent that's what brought me to this deck. What do I think of two Knife Jugglers? It's because, like, to some extent, the metagame from 6 months back was a kinder, gentler place, and now it's faster and more devastating. Paladin is, of course, one of the classes that can make use of the Knife Juggler the most, just because you can make a guy, so you're, like, guaranteed the Knife Juggler to shoot a... knife each time. Plus, like Kalento always says, like, I really paid attention to his VODs. He's like, well, the quality, you got a few different ways to enable it other than just the pyro and the consecration. Mm-hmm. And I was actually a little surprised not to see Avenging Wrath in there as well. I'm sure you considered it, but perhaps it was too slow. You got the Knife Juggler, and then you make a guy, and then sometimes you make two guys, sometimes you make three guys. So the chance of killing the equality guys is pretty high. And even have that Elven Archer in there because of it. Mm-hmm. So, pretty interesting stuff. I think the Knife Juggler fits a good, like, early game pressure stopper or pressure putter on her sometimes. It just has good utility. Although, I think it's one of the cards that could be considered to be removed in a different style.
Yes, I feel like if I would remove something for another card, I'll definitely remove the Knife Jugglers and put something else. After the Defender of Argos, like I did to bind the Black Knight, as you can see.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Hammer of Wrath. So a lot of people like it. Some people don't like it, just given that it's 4 mana. What do you like about it?
Paladin is running out of steam really quickly from time to time, and it's super necessary to have exactly the amount of card draw as you see in the deck. Because if you have a bit less, you basically have not enough cards. It's super important to be at least at 5 cards to have some synergy when you play control deck, because it's all about answers. So Hammer allows you not to run out of steam. Plus, his spell is super good in matchup versus Miracle. Allows you to cycle and actually kill a minion is basically for free. And also Pyro Trigger for late game.
Oh, that's true. Trump, do you like Hammer of Wrath?
Man, I love Hammer of Wrath. It's one of those cards where I would put 2 of them in a deck because I'm just more of a control-oriented player. At the same time, though, I understand that if you put 2 of them in a deck, like, you can get clogged down and the mana curve gets too high. Like, almost every single time I've drawn Hammer of Wrath in this deck, I've really liked it. Mm-hmm. You get your pseudo swipe with the Wild Pyromancer, Hammer of Wrath. When it comes down to the math, the spell in itself isn't that impressive because deal 3 damage, draw a card. I heard, like, the eggheads doing the math and the statistics, and they're like, it's a card that could be worth like 3.5 or 3.75 mana, and got rounded up to 4, which kind of sucks to some extent. Like, it would be really, really good as a card at 3 mana, of course, but, you know, it's nice. Oftentimes with this deck, you'd find yourself just running out of steam because there are not that many ways to draw cards, and just getting that there's so many utility cards in this deck also, and Hammer of Wrath just happens to be one of those. Like, sometimes you want it, sometimes you don't, but when you run one of them, just like all the other one-ofs in this deck, sometimes you really like to see it, and you get to hold that one card for the perfect opportunity. There's a lot to it. I'm really excited about this deck, if you can't tell. Anyways, it's
I love it too, man. Is it too clogged at 4, though? I mean, let's say you just wanted, you just said, like, if there's a way to add another Hammer of Wrath, there's just so many good 4s in this deck, right? True Silver is obviously a great one. Consecrate, those are, like, probably two cards you just can't live without, those 4 cards. And then, you know, right now we have 2 Singins in there, too, and this one in particular has Argus and Hammer of Wrath, too. Is that too many? Was that 8 4s?
I feel like it's fine. You know, it's all about, it's all situational spell. Consecration is not actually a 4. Because you're not often finding yourself in spot and you need to play Consecration on turn 4. So without Argus, if you're using Black Knight, and I feel like it's not correct not to use a Black Knight, because Druid is running the Sunwalkers and Ancient of Wars nowadays, and you have not enough to deal with all these big minions without Black Knight. So if you don't use Defender of Argus, you actually have less. And if you're using Defender of Argus, it's actually not a 4 also. Because most likely you play it on turn 6 if you have 1 minion, and you can summon 1/1 and play Defender, or play Knife Juggler, whatever.
Okay.
So what do we have? True Silver Champion, which is more or less also situational, but you can play it whenever you want to, and Sengins. So that's it. That's all what you have. So basically, Hammer of Wrath number 2 might have a place in this deck also. But I don't feel like it's a good idea. You're talking about mass. So, Hammer deals 3 damage and costs 4 mana. How can you compare it? Let's say Azure Drake. 4/4 spell power, costs 5 mana. So, same minion should be Ogre Magi, right? 4 mana Because it seems that's same ability, but no one plays it. So this card is bad. So let's say Azure Drake is about 3.5 mana cost minion. Hammer Thrust deals 3 damage, and that's it. It's like a Frost Bolt, but Frost Bolt costs 2 mana and freezes a minion. So the difference between these two cards, it's a card draw and 2 mana difference plus no special effect. When difference between Azure Drake and minion, it's only 1.5 mana, and no special effect doesn't exist in this situation, like freeze in situation with Hammer. So I feel like Hammer is a bit too underpowered. It's fine to have one, maybe two is a bit too much.
Okay, wow, that's a really interesting way to look at it.
Let me try to dumb that down for you guys, because that was really in depth, and I appreciate that. So a lot of these cards, like because you have to pay a single mana cost, there's no decimal points. A lot of these cards would be more fair costing something like 2.5 mana and like maybe 3.75 mana. And the cards that are good just have their mana costs like rounded down instead of up. And the cards that are bad are often having their mana costs rounded up instead of down. And then like somewhere in the middle, like the cards that don't require much rounding. Like that's the really basic way that I think of things. Like, when you think of Azure Drake, I think that card should cost 5.5 mana. But it costs 5 mana, so it's really good. The Knife Juggler, I think that should cost 2.5 mana. But it costs 2 mana, so that's really good. Ogre Magi, that should cost 3.5 mana. But it costs 4 mana, so that's really bad. Things like that.
Yeah. No, that's a great explanation, actually, for it. I never really thought of it that way, but that's really good. Okay, so let's continue talking about the deck. So there's a ton of taunt in it, and starting with Sinjin, and your first iteration you had even Argus in it, which would have made for at least probably seven taunts, right, here. Was it seven, or is it... It would have been 6 taunts, I guess, with Argus. Talk to us about just why so many taunts.
So, let's say Black Knight. Let's say opponent, you're playing control matchup, opponent has a Black Knight in deck. And you have no taunts, but Tyrion. You're playing minions, then Tyrion comes, and he's getting Black Knighted. Most likely he'll be just silenced, but if he gets Black Knighted, it's also bad. So if you play taunts in control matchups, they will also be Black Knighted, but it's not so bad for you. It's not a Tyrion. You didn't spend 8 mana to play it. That's first. Let's say aggro matchup. You need some kind of stopper. Obviously, taunts are good against aggro matchup. It's not in fresh news. Okay, next point. You need minions. You can't win game with this deck without doing damage with your minions. So, it's in between Sinjin or Yeti, or I don't know, some kind of another minions.
Yeti is usually
it's not an aggro deck, so you can't afford to play a lot of 2s or 3s like Scarlet Crusader. There's no Blood Knight in the deck. You need minions. So taunts are minions also, and you can use them. Let's say Miracle Rock is popular, right? And Miracle Rock can actually one-shot you from 30 to 0 with... with a good hand without spending, let's say, 1 prep.
Right.
And with a weapon in hand. So, even if you heal yourself up to full life, you can still die. So you need a taunt in this matchup also. Another point. Equality plus Pyro or Consecration combination. When you're playing it, you want to kill, like, you want to do 2 for 3 trade, and you want to take expensive minions. You want to remove expensive minions with this combination. So it's like Humility and Peacekeepers. What they do, they're removing attack points of minion, making them less useful, but it's still a threat. It's still a big minion. Let's say Ancient of War. Still has a 10 life, and it's a taunt. But he can't kill you at 1 point of attack. So it's like a stopper. And, okay, so opponent has 1 minion. He's big, he can basically kill you if you will not stop him, if you will not reduce his attack damage. And you can just summon a 1-1 and skip a turn, because opponent will be just hitting you, and he doesn't care about extending the board if he is not a bad player. Because he knows that you're holding a quality Consecrate, because there's no reason not to remove the minion and summon 1-1 when you have 6 mana. So you need to play something. But even Azure Drake works if you have enough life. But when you have not enough life, you can't afford to just to keep this minion, because you have a potential risk of being killed or being dead. So you need to play a taunt just to show some sort of presence and not to die.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's definitely great. And how often do you think Tyrion... How often do you get, I guess, full value from Tyrion in this deck?
Maybe about 20% of time.
Okay, that's not bad. I mean, it's seriously, right? I mean, usually people just save their Black Mage regardless of how many taunts you have for Tyrion, which is kind of crazy.
Usually, Druid saves Silence for
yeah,
Tyrion.
Yeah, Silence, too. I mean, Silence is much worse, actually, in my opinion, than getting at least the 15
depends
damage.
On situations. Depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. Losing a 6-6 minion also bad. Weapon often doesn't do much when you have not enough life to kill minions with weapon.
Okay. All right, let's see. I think all the other cards are kind of the general base Paladin cards that we've seen in the past. So why don't we talk about the differences between the right deck and, you know, just like your most recent deck that you're running. And you kind of pointed out you're running Black Knight now, and it has a lot to do with Druids. Is it only to do with Druids?
Black Knight, yeah, it's mostly for Druids. Knight,
yeah.
And same thing about Argus. It's just the first minion, in my opinion, to remove. You have enough taunts, and Defender is more or less situational. You can just play a 1-1 at any time, but often it's not enough. And you have no board presence, you can just play 1-1 and summon Defender of Argus. But stats are only 3-4, right? No. 4-5. It's like a Yeti for 6 mana. Not good enough when you play it only on one minion. So, Black Knight, I feel like it's really often not enough value in deck to beat the popular Druid decks with Ancient of Wars and Walkers. So, Black Knight is exactly what you need to beat the type of deck. Actually, matchup like Miracle Rock suffers a lot without Defender, but it's still more than 50% win rate with Paladin if you play it properly.
It's Miracle?
Against
oh,
Miracle.
Nice. Okay. Trump, what do you think about Black Knight in this deck?
First, I'd like to address, like, a lot of people look at these two decks and they're like, these are the same decks.
Right.
There's one
well,
card.
We're using it as a
but
frame.
Let me, like, this is something that Strafker told me, like, 5 or 6 months ago, and that man is way ahead of, like, the curve in terms of thinking about these things. He's like, when I build decks, when I make a change, like, I'm going to incrementally change it, like, 1 card or 2 cards or something like that. And that's a big deal. So, the Black Knight actually ends up being a huge game changer. It makes, like, 1 or maybe 2 matchups way better, and it makes quite a few matchups, like, slightly worse. And that's just the basic way of metagame call, and if you're seeing a lot of Druid, and perhaps if you're seeing a lot of Handlock, and you know, there's all these random other things that Black Knight can hit, but mostly those two, then you're going to have a better game by adding this card. That's just the base way of doing it. So what do I think about it? In my experience yesterday when I was playing, there were a lot of Druids, so this is an excellent addition.
Okay.
Yeah, and also I should mention that you have a lot of taunts in your deck, and sometimes you might play around against deck which runs Faceless Manipulator.
Yeah.
So Black Knight actually helps in this case also.
Black Knighting that Tyrion that they faceless, that's always fun. So you mentioned you've been playing around, at least before we started the show, you mentioned you'd been trying out some different cards, maybe in place of the like one of the Knife Jugglers. And you mentioned trying out the Blood Knight. Were you adding Divine Shield too to this deck, or was it more defensive?
Yeah, like Argent Protector plus Blood Knight can have potentially good value. The problem is you need to have a minion, and you need to have 5 mana to make a 6-6. You have enough time, usually, to enter the mid-late game, and this combination is actually great, if you think about it. If you have, let's say, 1-1 minion on a board, you have Blood Knight and Argent Protector, you're paying 2 cards, and you're getting 2-2 plus 6-6, and it's actually huge, right? It's no 2 cards combination when you can have 8-8 stats total by spending only 5 mana. And also, you can steal Sunwalker's Divine Shield. Sunwalker's really popular right now.
Yeah.
You can steal Zeus, Argent Squire's Divine Shield. You can steal Divine Shield from Argent Squire of Aggro-Rog. Not helps much against Miracle, because Miracle just kills everything, and Miracle doesn't run Divine Shield.
Yeah. That's true. Is there any other card you've been trying? Any Harrisons or any cards like that?
Harrison, I haven't tried Harrison. I tried Ooze. So Ooze can be a nice addition also. One Knife Jail can be replaced with Ooze.
Okay.
Because again, I feel like Harrison is not what you want to have, because it's a bit too slow, and you have usually more or less enough card draw in this deck. And if you remove Knife Jail, you will be suffering against aggro one more time. I repeat, it's often not a good idea to skip turn 2 minion against aggro when you have no AoE, which is often a case. So Ooze is better than Harrison, obviously, if you want to have some sort of weapon removing mechanic in deck.
Okay. Trump, you see any cards that you want to experiment with?
I haven't played this deck to a level of proficiency and experience enough to change Kalenta's masterpiece. That's the stance that I take with any deck that I first try out, and I think it's a good one to take. You just play the deck that someone has obviously put a lot of thought into, and then over time, perhaps you are the one who makes a metagame call, such as putting a black and a related question, and then...
Well, I don't know. Maybe sometimes you're doing player versus player games, and you need to practice one particular deck against one particular matchup. And we are also planning on making a team practice when two players are playing, and let's say two players are watching. Three players are watching and speaking about what plays they could have done and why they think that player is better. But we didn't have a practice so far, so not now. But we should, in near future. I feel like on ladder I can learn almost everything I need. The most problem, you just need more time. If you need to practice a particular matchup, you need to practice, because you can't actually choose a class you play against. That's like only problem.
I don't know whether or not Shanman has his microphone fixed from now, but the question asked was, to Kalenta was, about his practice habits and how he prepares.
Yep. Oh, sorry about that, guys. I guess I was muted for that question. Yeah, the question was from DJ Helium. It was about how he practices and how he prepares for tournaments. But okay, guys, I think we're going to close out the show. You know, Kalenta only had time to to hang out with us for an hour or so. So we've kind of already gone over that. But it was a pleasure having you on, buddy. This was your first time on ValueTown, I believe. And lots of great knowledge bombs and insight into, of course, the decks and just generally just how you play and that sort of bit. But any shout-outs and thank yous you want to do?
Shout-outs to my team, to all sponsors.
What are their sponsors?
I can't say for sure about my sponsors, but it should be Logitech, and you can find another information on my stream. Follow my stream if you want to see some high quality games. And thank you for listening to me. I hope you found my words are useful, and maybe it will help you to learn better.
Absolutely. Follow me on Twitter too, guys, at Calento. That's obviously great. Trump, you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to Calento. Thank you so much for joining us today. To watch his stream, he is one of the best players right now. Better than me for now, but I'm going to catch up to you. Glad to watch us. And shout out to Team Solo Mid, who picked up a pretty awesome player. Way to go, Team Solo Mid. And to their sponsors, Logitech, HyperX, and Alienware. Specific shout out to Alienware, since soon my potato of a computer will be replaced. Hooray.
Nice. Value, man. Value. I love these shout-outs now. The shout-outs section of the show is like starting to become proper shout-outs versus what they used to be. So really cool. But Calento, thanks again for coming on. You definitely are one of the best players right now. And it's always enlightening to have you just talk on the show and anything like that. So big thanks to you. And Trump, of course, each and every week. Love doing it. The show's with you, buddy. And all of you viewers for watching and being patient with just the kind of craziness at the end there. And you can find the VODs on youtube.com/ChamManV. That's kind of where all the show VODs are for ValueTown, as well as Pro Corner, as well as Deck Wars, too. The Deck Wars videos will be up, too, by the way, from yesterday.